This is Kate Harness with 307net Info, and today I'm joined by Jackie Camino, who's our county clerk. Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, Kate. Nice to have you here.
Good morning, and thank you very much for spending some time with me. We were just going to take a few minutes just to provide really an overview for people, anybody who is interested in voting this year and eligible to vote, about how you actually do that, how you cast your vote. There have been a few minor changes and tweaks to some of this, and we're just going to spend a few minutes just really providing an overview and a how-to guide, if you like, for the steps and the processes that you need to take in order to vote. So, obviously, the first thing is that you need to be registered.
Absolutely.
And voter registration is important. There are some things, if you are over 18 and you've registered and voted before, there is a possibility that if you didn't vote in the 2022 general election, that your vote may have been purged, your registration may have been purged from the list. And my understanding from our conversation before we started recording this was that that is really to retain the authenticity and the up-to-date nature of the voter rolls.
Absolutely. The point of the purging of votes is to determine if we have people on our voter registration list that are no longer eligible to vote here. If they may not have voted because they've moved. They may not have voted because they've passed away. So by sending a purge notice out to them, they have, I believe it's 20 days to respond to us. All they have to do is pick up the phone or return the form that says, yes, I still want to remain a registered voter. It's not our concern why you didn't vote in the general. It's just our concern that you are still here and you still want to be a registered voter of Johnson County. So if you are, you receive a purge notice and you don't respond to us, which simply could be a phone call, and just say, yeah, hey, I'm still here. Then we're required by statute to purge you out of the system. So the fix for that is just you just have to come in and register again.
So have you already sent out all those purge notifications?
Those purge notifications go out in January after the general election. So that would have been something that happened in early 2023.
It's very easy, isn't it, to overlook all those envelopes that come into our mailboxes. There's so many different pieces of mail, and somebody may have just accidentally, you know, thrown it away or not realised what it was or put it aside. Can you just call the county clerk's office and check whether you're registered or not?
You sure can.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you can just check whether you're actually on the list and then you know. But even if you do, even if you're not registered and you realise that you don't realise that you need to be registered and or re-register, you can still register at the polling booth.
Absolutely.
On the day of the election.
Yes, yes. You can register in our office up until August 5th. The reason they have that cutoff is because we have to get everybody entered in the system. The Secretary of State has to have time to match those up to any other voter that may be showing up in another county, anything like that, and to get our poll books prepared for election. So after August 5th, you can only register at the polls. You can't register in our office after that point.
So that period of time between August 5th and what this year is August 20th, the primary election, that gives you the time for all those checks and balances to be,
correct,
and paperwork and so on to be put in place. And you were telling me earlier that there is a whole system happening at the Secretary of State's office where they're also checking voter registration, so that you can't be registered in multiple counties or multiple states.
That's correct. So if we go to enter you as a registered voter into Johnson County, if you are registered in another county in the state, it will pop up and tell us that. And so by registering in Johnson County, then that will automatically cancel that registration in the other county. Then to further that step, the Secretary of State has a database in place that if you are, let's say you moved here from Texas and you were registered in Texas and you put on your registration what your former address was, they notify Texas that you're now registered in Wyoming and that registration gets canceled.
Okay, so lots of different checks and balances and authentication of correct voter registration.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the primary election is party affiliated. And for us, that is mainly a Republican Party. The primary for us is really focus on the Republican Party election. And to vote in the primary, you do need to be registered as a Republican or a Democrat, and then you will get, you know, your appropriate ballot. There was a slight change to the rule, though, this year, and you can no longer, we've passed the deadline, if you are already a registered voter, to be able to switch parties.
If you're a registered voter, you can no longer switch parties. You have to vote in the party that you're registered in. If you are not a registered voter yet, or you've been purged, which makes you not currently a registered voter, you can come in and you can register, and you can register for any party that you wish.
And what is the cutoff date for that?
Registration is the 5th of August.
Okay.
Except you can register at the polls.
Okay, so it's the same as we were just talking about. And so you can then, you come in and then you will just vote for those Republican or Democrat candidates on your ballot.
And the and then any, if you're inside the city limits, you'll vote on you would vote for your precinct person, you would vote for city council or whatever. So if you have a situation where nobody filed to vote for your precinct or filed to run for your precinct, still on the ballot, because there would be a write-in opportunity there.
Thank you. There are two other things that I think, you know, sometimes we get a little confused about what they are, and there are some regulation that's changed a little bit this year, and that's early voting and absentee voting. Early voting just means that you can cast your vote ahead of the election day. In this case, we're talking about the primary on August the 20th. The period of time that early and absentee voting has been reduced a little bit. But what could you just explain what early voting actually is?
Yes, I sure can. Early voting means that you can come in to the office and you can basically, you don't register, but you go through the same situation that you would do at the polling place, where we look up your registration, we issue a ballot, and then there's a voting booth out in the hallway, you can go out and vote it, and you come in and you feed your ballot in just like you would if you're at the polling place.
So it's really just an advantage. If you know that you can't come on election day, you can come and do that, and then that vote is just, it's held in the machine and then will be counted subsequently along with all the other votes.
Right.
Absentee voting is when you're not here and you're voting in a different way. How does that mechanism work?
And even if you're here, you can ask to vote absentee. So oftentimes it's people that are snowbirds or traveling and they want to vote absentee. It could be military. But it could just be that, you know, you're not going to be around or it's not going to be a good time. You can request an absentee ballot, and then it comes in the mail, or it can be dropped off. It has to be sealed and it has to be signed. And then what we do with that absentee ballot is there's a little machine that we put it in. It records the date we received it. We document when we send it out, we document when we received it, and then it's kept secure under lock and key. It is not opened until the day of the election.
So how do you apply for an absentee vote?
You can call us, or you can email us, or you can come in and ask for one.
And you get it, you take it home, you fill it in, you put it in the envelope, and you put it in the mail, and it comes back to you.
Correct. The one thing is, with the shorter voting period, they've cut it like virtually in half. So there's a 21-day voting period, and they recommend that you give a mailed ballot 7 days to get here, because there's all kinds of confusion about where our mail is going, you know, when it leaves here and where it comes through. So they're recommending that you give it at least 7 days. And so if you're going to mail it, that really shortens your opportunity.
Do not mail it the day before is what you're saying. And those are counted again on August the 20th, in this case, in the primary election day. So they're stored securely and then all counted at the same time.
And we have an absentee ballot counting board that comes in. There's three of them, and they have their own machine, and they open those ballots and feed them into the machine. It's a requirement statutorily that you have three people.
Thank you. And we have a primary election, and then again in November we have a general election. And it's the same process for both.
It is.
And you can vote in one or the other or both, and the system is still the same. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Jackie, thank you. Is there anything else that you wish that people who may be thinking they want to vote should know?
Well, anytime you have a question about whether they're registered or not, they can call. They can stop in. We're happy to look it up for them. Registering is very simple. You do need your ID in order to register to vote. There's various forms of ID that are allowed. One would be their photo ID, so you'd get a Wyoming driver's license or a Wyoming issued ID card. Looks just like a driver's license, only there's no driver's license number on it. A U.S. military card, a valid passport, a tribal ID card, University of Wyoming student ID, community college student ID, public school student ID. Currently, they've added valid Wyoming concealed firearm permit as being a valid ID. Currently, they're accepting Medicare and Medicaid insurance cards, which is kind of strange to me because there's no photo on them. But when I looked that up this morning, I did notice that will end in 2029. There will be a time when a Medicare or Medicaid card no longer works. You will have to have a photo ID.
I kind of think of that as sort of, it's almost like you need a photo government issued ID. And if it falls in that category, then you're good right. to go. Mm-hmm. But voters also need to remember that they need to take them to the polling station too on polling day, even if you're registered already. Is that correct?
That's correct. You still have to have your ID in order to get your ballot. And when we say valid ID, it can't be an expired ID. It needs to be a valid, you know, current ID. So if you come to the ballot polls and you go, oh, goodness, I left my wallet at home. I don't have my ID. You can vote with what is called a provisional ballot. They can confirm that you're a registered voter. You can do a provisional ballot, and they're kept separate, and they're not counted. They're sealed and kept separate, and you have until 5 o'clock the next day to come into the clerk's office and provide those credentials in order for your ballot to count.
One thing we probably should have talked about is you have to be resident in this county to be able to vote in this county. What counts as residency these days?
Basically, this is your primary residence. We basically, if you have a residence, it doesn't matter how long, you've just moved here 2 days ago, you can come in and register to vote. But it will obviously nullify any place else that you're voting. And you sign an affidavit. So the burden of proof that you have that residence doesn't really fall on us. You're signing basically a state affidavit that has federal teeth in it as well, stating that this is my residence, and it would be fraudulent to say it's your residence if it isn't, and there, of course, would be.
So even if you're brand new to the community, you're still eligible to vote here. You may choose to vote in your previous location, but you are, in theory, you can come and register to vote even if you're brand new.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for clarifying those steps and for what we need to do to cast our vote in this first primary election and then coming up again in November. You've got a lot of work cut out for you, Jackie. You're going to be very busy in your office.
Yes. I'm a little bit nervous. It's my first election, but I have a fabulous staff, and my chief election officer is in my office anyway. She has many, many years of experience, and so I'm confident that it will go off without any problems.
Well, thank you very much indeed for spending some time. And just to reiterate, if anybody has any questions, they will there to call your office and you'll be able to help them.
Yes.
And I will post the phone number and all the contact details and your hours here right next to this audio feature. But Jackie, thank you very much indeed for talking to us about this upcoming election and how to vote.
Absolutely. I'm very, very happy to be here and happy to clarify these things that might have, created questions in people's minds about how they register and what's allowed and what's changed. So.
Well, thank you very much indeed.